Hey, man. Welcome to episode 62 of the Speak On It podcast featuring your boy T-Lip on the ones and twos, man. You dig what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? You know I ain't playing. I come through spraying like that boy Lamar. Hey. That was a bunch of fireworks going off on Cribbin yesterday. You had best of both worlds. You had NFL, three games in NFL yesterday. You had five games in the NBA yesterday. It's crazy because the NBA game didn't even get no play on the talk shows this morning. First Take barely talked basketball today. They ain't even talk about Luka dropping 50. they ain't even talk about Joker winning another home game. They ain't talk about the Knicks upsetting the Bucks at home. They ain't talk about none of that. Today's whole topic was on the 49ers and the Ravens. So, shout out to Roger Goodell going ahead and stealing another day from the NBA. Hey, man, NFL is just better, man. You know, they play harder. Games mean more in the regular season than in the NBA. NBA, they just, oh, we got 82 games. We ain't got to play hard all the time. If I feel like playing today, I'm going to play. If I don't feel like playing today, I ain't going to play. I make $50 million a year. I'm okay. I'm good anyway. I ain't saying like every player make $50 million a year because they don't. But, you know, it's 15 players on the team. They are all millionaires. Even if you're making $1 million or $2 million and it's guaranteed. But I ain't about here to talk about no contracts, about no basketball, no NFL, no basketball contracts and none of that. I'm jumping right into the main topic of the day. Lamar Jackson is the MVP. Flawless victory. Need I say more? I'm going to say more anyway. If you watched the game yesterday and you listen to my podcast, the Speak On It podcast that I drop every day, every other day of the week. The episode I dropped on Sunday night, I made this prediction. I said the Ravens will beat them, but I also said the best player on the field is Lamar Jackson prior to the game. And what did you see last night when you watched the game? What did you see? Lamar Jackson was the best player on the field. Was he not? He was the best player on the field, hands down. 23 for 35, 252 passing yards, two sacks, but one of them came late. He really didn't get sacked like that a lot. Had two passing touchdowns, no turnovers, no fumbles, no INTs. I don't even think he threw a pass that was close to it being an interception. The things that Lamar did yesterday was great. He made great decisions with the football yesterday. When it wasn't there, he threw it out. He scrambled to the last minute to where he can make a play. If he did, he didn't. He protected the ball. And that's where the Ravens are a very, very dangerous team when Lamar protects the ball. Because the Ravens are one of the best special teams team in the NFL. They are literally one of the best special teams team. They have the best special teams unit. Harbaugh is a special teams coach. So the attention to detail that he has on that side of the ball as well is very, very high. They have the best kicker in the game. And then they have the best defense in the game. And this is with missing starters. Like, they've missed some starters this year. Marcus Williams was missed a lot this year. Kyle Hamilton missed some games this year. A great pickup that they signed was Kyle Van Noy. He doing his thing. Ronald Darby. Like, I know he don't get enough credit like that, but he's, besides his pass interference yesterday, he's been playing really well this year. He's healthy. He still can cover. He's always was fast. He ran like a damn near 4.2 or 4.3 at the combine. Always had speed. Always was a decent player, especially when he played in Buffalo. He was pretty good. He dealt with some injuries in the past, but he looks like he's healthy and he's competing at a high level. Stevens, number 21 for the Baltimore, the cornerback, he's balling out. he been playing really, really well this year. In coverage, press coverage, off coverage, clutch making ability. Like he's playing really aggressive football this year. Like him and Snead are playing. Snead from the Chiefs, number 38. Stevens and Snead are playing some great football this year, and I'm loving what I'm seeing from that. Obviously, Humphrey doing his thing, being a veteran in that secondary, making plays. Kyle Hamilton is literally everything you can be for the Ravens right now, doing his thing. He's affecting the game. He had 2 INTs yesterday. He had 3 PBUs. Let me see. Yep. He had 5 tackles, 2 INTs, and 3 PBUs. And he blitzes the passer. He covered guys. He plays in the box. He plays on the edge. He plays in the middle of the field. Like, he's that Swiss Army knife that the Ravens love to utilize in so many different ways. Shout out to the defense coordinator. I don't know his name. I think his last name is McDonald. He called a hell of a game. Like, you got to understand, the 49ers offense is explosive. And they have some of the toughest, grittiest guys that ain't going down once they catch the ball, that ain't going down off the first tackle, that ain't going down, period. And they step up on downs where they need to step up. Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, and Deebo Samuel. Those four right there are great. Like, they're great. They're all yak guys. They all create separation. They all play with an edge. And then you got Trent Williams that's literally been the best offensive tackle in the league for the last how many years? I mean, we can talk about it. Him and Laremy Tunsil. It's a couple guys in that list that just been the best offensive tackle that we've seen, the most consistent. So this offense is loaded. Man, the Ravens went and traveled all the way across country the day before Christmas and walked into San Francisco and dog walked them. Like, you want to talk about belt to ass? That was an ass whooping. It was 33 to 12 that whole game. Like, they scored a little touchdown at the end of the game on some janky stuff, whatever, whatever. But the Ravens dominated this game. But how did they dominate it? They dominated on the back of Lamar Jackson. He made plays for his team. He made plays for his team. Put the team on his back like he always do. Obviously, yeah, the defense played well, man. I'm not taking nothing away from the Ravens' defense. But I done seen some defenses be great as hell, but still can't win. Look at the Jets. Aren't the Jets one of those teams on defense that's pretty good? And they can't get anything going on offense, right? Jets, oh, they got the top defense in the league, but they can't do anything on offense. If you can't put any pressure on the opposing team defense, your defense ain't going to be able to just lock a team down in the NFL today. It's not going to happen. You need offense. You need dynamic players. You need playmakers. You need guys that could go out there and score as well to help you on defense. And Lamar is that. Lamar's that. The running game wasn't even going like that for the Ravens like that yesterday. They only had 102 rush yards. Yeah, they had some runs, some key runs, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards. They had some key runs. They made some, you know, some timely runs, some first downs, things like that. They caught the ball out the backfield. But Zay Flowers was a problem yesterday. And the best thing that Todd Monken did was get the ball in his hands early. Like, Zay Flowers was catching bubble screens, slants, mesh routes. And he caught like a few passes in like the first and second quarter. So I think he had like 4 catches in the first half. And that's good because he was able to get the ball and make it happen right now. So now he's in flow for the second half. He like, all right, cool. I'm about to really get this rock. I'm rolling now. I'm feeling good. It's like a score in the NBA. See the ball go in a couple times in the first quarter. And then they get some easy layups. They get a layup. They hit a mid-range. Then they hit a 3. Like, now they like, oh, shit, I'm about to snap this whole game. That's how it is for a wide receiver when he touches the ball early. It makes him feel like he's a part of the offense. He had 13 targets yesterday. He had 9 catches, 72 yards, and 1 touchdown. Caught the ball well. I even say they should even incorporate getting him the ball, just handing it off to him. Like some type of how Chiefs was using Mecole Hardman, giving him some jet sweeps, some motion shovel passes. Like I think he needs to be utilized like that as well, because that's going to open up the offense more for Bateman and Likely and Odell Beckham as well. Like they need to continue to find ways to get Zay Flowers the ball. He's a first round pick. He was literally one of, like, if not the best receiver to come out of this draft. He's very explosive, very fast. He plays with an edge. He plays with a swagger. And he's a dog. Like, he's not no, you feel me? He's not just a slot receiver. He's an outside receiver. He can play in a slot, too. He's a dog. So they have to continue to find ways to get him the ball. And if I'm Lamar, I'm making sure that happens, because that gets him the ball a lot. Likely has been playing well since Andrews has went out. Likely made some quality key catches yesterday, some quality key plays. He had 3 catches for 56 yards, a 34-yard catch as well, catch and run, making people make break tackles. He made some good quality catches yesterday. Like, Lamar had 23 completions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 guys had a catch yesterday for Lamar. 8 guys. 6 guys had 2 or more catches. Like, Lamar was locked in yesterday. Lamar was locked. Like, I'm not even here to talk about the 49ers. They just got their ass whooped. It wasn't no, if they was at home, they wouldn't have lost. Nah, the Baltimore went into your living room and drug their muddy feet all over your carpet and said, fuck you, and walked out and left. That's what they did. It was so much disrespect going on toward the Baltimore Ravens this week. Nobody really gave Baltimore a chance. And I thought differently. I'm like, bro, they about to travel all the way across the world the day before Christmas. They going to be tight. They going to be together. 49ers probably going to be a little comfortable at home. We got a night game on Christmas. They stay in the hotel on Sunday night if they had to. They wake up, go and open presents at home with their families, da-da-da-da. They going to come out a little confident, but they going to come out chilling a little bit. And the Ravens, I just didn't think they was. The Ravens even spotted the Niners a safety. The damn ref then tripped up Lamar Jackson, and it was an intentional ground in the end zone, and they gave him a safety. So Lamar even spotted him 2 points and then gave him another, you know, field goal. So it was 5-0. And then it just went downhill from there. Lamar was locked in. Now, I'm hearing there's a lot of things going on talking about, okay, does this make Lamar Jackson the MVP? You know, because he don't have MVP numbers. When he won an MVP a few years ago, he had 43 total touchdowns. And right now he only has 25 total touchdowns or 22. Let me see. He has 19. He has 19 passing touchdowns. And he has 5 rushing touchdowns. So he only have 24 total touchdowns this year. And they like, okay, well, how he going to win MVP if he has, you know, almost 20 touchdowns less than what he had in his MVP year? If you watch the Ravens, if you watch football, Lamar Jackson is the most important player on his team to any team. Damn near outside of Patrick Mahomes. Let's think about it. Let's turn over to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's still in the playoff hunt. Joe Burrow haven't played for like 5 games. Cincinnati have won some games. Cincinnati still can make the playoffs. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let's keep it going. The Colts. Well, ain't no damn quarterback on ain't no quarterback on them like that. That's in a playoff hunt. I mean, the NFL hunt. But outside of Patrick Mahomes, Lamar is the most important guy to the success of his team, to the success of a city, of a franchise, than anybody else. than anybody else. The last couple of years when Lamar got injured in December and he wasn't able to, you know, when Lamar got injured, they was 8-3 last year. They were 8-3. And then a year before that, he got injured again in December. And they were out of lost in the first round. But they were still the best team in the league at that time. They were the best team in the league up until he got injured. He's literally the most important player on his team. Last year when they went to the playoffs and they played Cincinnati and Cincinnati, they lost by 3 points. Yeah, the defense was good. The defense was a top five defense last year. They were pretty good. They were dope. But they lost because Lamar wasn't on the team. When Lamar goes down, the chances of that team goes dramatically down. Dramatically down. Lamar Jackson is the best player in the NFL. He's the most dangerous player in the NFL. From down to down, he's the most dangerous quarterback in the NFL. From play to play, Lamar Jackson is the most dangerous quarterback slash player in the NFL because he touches the ball every play. And the things he do or can do every single play, no other quarterback can do. No other quarterback can do. And it ain't like he has a Stephon Diggs to throw to. He don't have a Jamar Chase to throw to, a T. Higgins. You feel me? He don't have a Tyreek Hill and a Jalen Waddle and Mostert in the backfield. He don't have a CeeDee Lamb, a Tony Pollard, a Brandon Cooks, you feel me, a Jake Ferguson. He don't have those guys. Nothing against the guys he have, but he have Bateman. He has Nelson Aguilar. He has OBJ right now, and we know what OBJ is. He's been playing well this year, but he's not the OBJ from New York. You feel me? He don't even have his favorite target. His favorite target is Andrews. Andrews has been out for, I would say, what? How many weeks Andrews been out? He had got out on a Thursday night game versus the Bengals. Yeah, he's been out for what, 6 weeks? He's been out since November 16th. So there's been a whole, what, damn near month and a half since he had his favorite target in Andrews. He lost his number one running back, Dobbins, what, week three? He lost Dobbins in week three. So your number one running back is gone. Your number one tight end is gone. You don't really have a number one receiver. Never really had a dynamic number one receiver on his team. Never really had a number one running back on his team. He didn't have a Saquon Barkley. He hasn't had a Christian McCaffrey. You feel me? Yeah, he hasn't had a Derrick Henry. He hasn't had none of that. He's literally put this franchise on his back and gave them confidence every game that, hey, we gonna win this game and we can win this game. In every possession, I'm gonna make something happen no matter what. Lamar Jackson is the MVP this year. Like, I understand what Purdy's doing and the numbers he's had, but I just tweeted this earlier, bro. Purdy probably not even a top five player on his team. He's not top five most valuable players on his team. You got Christian McCaffrey, you got Trent Williams, you got Deebo Samuel, you got Kittle, because he does a lot in the pass game and the running game as well. You have Brandon Ayuk, because he ball out, and you have Nick Bosa, and you have Fred Warner. I just named you seven guys right there. Seven guys. And then you got Armstead, the defensive tackle, Eric Armstead. And you got Hargrave. It's literally like 10 guys on his team. I just named you 10 guys right there. There are 10 guys that can potentially be better, you know, more valuable than Purdy. And that's not taking away anything from Purdy, bro. It's not taking away anything from him because I think he's a good quarterback. He's just not great like Lamar is. Lamar is great. Lamar has already won an MVP. We know what he about. We know what type of timing he be on. And he got that look in his eye this year. He been doubted all offseason. All year. Remember this offseason how it was for him. He had requested a trade. You feel me? His team ain't want to pay him. They were trying to lowball him and tell him how valuable he was and whatever, whatever. Other teams had the chance to talk to him, just have a conversation with him. And they said, nope, we are not interested in Lamar Jackson. Let me tell you the teams. Let me tell you the team's record that did that, that was not interested in Lamar Jackson. Let's go down the line. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Colts was interested in Lamar Jackson. They are 8-7 right now. The Raiders. I think the Raiders was kind of interested. That was a team potentially that was in the mix a little bit, whatever. They are 7-8 out of the playoffs. They are 11 seed. Let's talk about the Jets. His name was in the Jets conversation for a long time before Aaron Rodgers got there and committed to signing there. The Jets are 6-9 right now, and they lost Aaron Rodgers the first game. And look who's still playing right now. Look who's still playing right now. The Jets put their whole organization in Aaron Rodgers' hands. And, yeah, it's a freak accident. You know, things happen. He tore his Achilles. But one guy is playing right now, and one guy is not. That's all I'm going to say. Let's talk about the Patriots. The Patriots are 4-11. The Patriots are terrible this year. They have played shit. They might as well play they might as well put Jabril at quarterback at this point. That was just the AFC teams. Let's move to the NFC teams. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Titans was in that too. The Titans was possibly thinking about, you know, interview, at least talking to, you know, Lamar's camp. They're 5-10 out of the playoffs. 14th seed in the AFC. Let's go to NFC. What teams? The Seahawks. The Seahawks was a possible team. We don't know how serious that was. They're 8-7. The Falcons. The Falcons were one of the teams I thought he was really going to go to. I really thought Lamar Jackson was going to really end up being a Falcon. The Falcons are 7-8 right now out of the playoffs. The 9th seed. The Saints. I thought that was a good team to go to. They're 7-8 right now out of the playoffs. The 11th seed. The Commanders. How many times they didn't bench their starting quarterback this year? How about Lamar Jackson probably could have saved Ron Rivera, Eric Bieniemy? He probably could have saved them. They probably could be signing extensions right now if they had him. You think Washington would be 4-11 with Lamar Jackson right now? Do y'all understand? Just knowing you have Lamar Jackson on your team and out there playing quarterback for you, you know the confidence that reeks through that entire organization with every player on the field? You know how much harder you're going to play because you know you have that guy at quarterback. But you got Sam Howell. Have fun with that. Then you got the Panthers. The Panthers was a potential like, hey, y'all can trade that first round pick and get Lamar. You feel me? And just sign Lamar and get some picks from that. They are 2-13 right now. Fire day coach. Let me see how many fire day coach already. I think all of these coaches are going to get fired. Panthers fired their coach already. Commanders already talking about firing their coach. The Saints already talking about firing their coach. I think he loses his job at the end of the year. Falcons, I think he loses his job at the end of the year. Patriots, Bill Belichick loses his job at the end of the year. Titans, I don't know. Does Mike Vrabel want to stay there and deal with the quarterback situation there, or do he want to go and be the head coach with the Patriots? I don't know. If I'm him, I'm trying to find me a way to get back to the Patriots. I think that'll be a great Mike Vrabel will be a great coach for the Patriots. Great replacement for Bill Belichick. I'm not saying he's going to do what Bill Belichick do, but Mike Vrabel is a very, very great. I think he's a top five coach in the NFL. I'm not even gonna lie. So getting him for the Patriots, that'll be good for the program. The Jets, will they fire Saleh? Who knows? I don't know. We shall see. The Raiders already fired their coach. So all the teams that was like, no, we good. We ain't got to sign Lamar. We good. We don't even want to talk to him. We don't even want to talk to him. All of them about to fire their coach. It's just something to say about that. It's just something to think about. That's just what I'm saying. I mean, I ain't no, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying. Lamar Jackson is the MVP, man. Lamar Jackson has 335. 3,357 passing yards this year. He also has, let's see how many rushing yards he got. Yeah. Let me see. My bad. Yeah, this year he has 786 rushing yards. So he got over 4,000 yards already this year. 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He already broke his completions record in his career this year. This year he has, and there's still 2 more games left. This year he has, let me make sure. This year he has 289 completions. His highest in his career was 265. And that was the year he won the MVP. That was 2019. And he still got 2 games left. So he already beat his completions record by 24 right now. He still has 2 games left. And he has over 4,000 yards total this year. And he's on the best team, and he's the best player on the best team. No questions about it. It ain't no questions about, oh, is it Christian McCaffrey? Is it, you feel me, is it Trent Williams? Should Trent Williams' name be in the MVP race? Is it Nick Bosa? It ain't none of that. Even though the Ravens have Smith, the linebacker. They have Kyle Hamilton that's balling out right now. They have Humphreys. The best player on the team is Lamar Jackson. The best player in the NFL is Lamar Jackson. It's really that simple. Hands down, he should win the MVP. And this is going to put the icing on the cake. He just went in there and beat the hell out of the 49ers in their own backyard, dominated them, did his thing. Now he goes back home and plays Miami on Sunday. If he go out there and have a great performance, like I think he will have, versus Miami in Baltimore, and they win the game, that's going to put the icing on the cake even more. That's just going to put some more icing on the cake. And then he end the season off playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. So 2 home games to end the season versus Miami and Pittsburgh. If he go out there and take care of his business and dominate these games and play well, protect the ball, and beat Lamar, he'd be a 2-time MVP. 2 times. I don't think there's anybody close, honestly. This guy has been in the MVP race. He's been a top 3 candidate damn near this entire season. Like, he's been the guy that's been in the top 3 this entire season. They have not lost 2 games in a row. In the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The last 10 games, they lost 1 game. And that was a game they was up 31-17 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter against the Browns. So they should have won that game. That should have been a game the defense just finished off. But, you know, they got lackluster and lost the game. Then they lost on the last second touchdown to the Steelers early in the season. This was week 5. And Pickett threw it to Pickens on an empty. It was empty. I think it was like 4th down. Empty blitz, 0 blitz. And they caught the end of the game on some touchdown type shit. The Ravens should have won that game too. They was in the red zone more than 5 times. But they turned the ball over once, kicked the field goal once. And they just wasn't taking the full advantage of the opportunity. And then the game they lost to the Colts at home. They lost to the Colts at home in overtime, in which that game they had the lead. So there's 3 games where they literally by far should have won that they lost. 2 of the losses that they had came in a span of 3 weeks. From week 3 to week 5. That's when they lost 2 games in that week in that span. But like I just said, in the last 10 games, they have lost 1 game. 1. 1. And it's been different games. Some games, they defense literally took over and they offense took over as well. But there's been some high scoring games. They beat the Cardinals 31-24. Yeah, the defense showed up a little bit, but they still had to score 31 points. Then they beat the shit out of the Seahawks 37-3. You feel me? Then they like I said, the Browns game, they lost 33-31. They allowed 33 points. And then they beat the Bengals 34-20. They allowed 20 points. You know, he had to score 34. So, and then even versus the Rams, they won in overtime 37-31. The defense was still on the field that day too. But Lamar had to do what he had to do for that game and win that game. And he put the team on his back like he's been doing. Like I've been saying, man, Lamar Jackson is the most valuable player in the NFL. It ain't just about numbers, man. I don't just want to look at a paper like, oh, well, he has 4,500 yards passing and 30 total touchdowns. I mean, 30 passing touchdowns. And it ain't just all about the numbers, man. Like, it ain't just all about the numbers, bro. It's not just all about the numbers. It's about the eye test, what you see, how it looks, how it feels, all of that. It also, who is the best team? That means something. Are you really contributing to your team winning? Are you not the reason that they're losing? You feel me? Dak had just played himself out of the MVP race because the last couple weeks he's lost. You think he wasn't the reason they lost in Buffalo? He was the reason. He wasn't not the reason. If you an MVP type of quarterback, you should be able to go on the road and win. It don't matter if it's at the Bills. It don't matter where it's at. You should be able to go on the road and win. What Lamar just do? Went all the way to San Francisco on Monday Night Football on Christmas and whooped they ass. That's what happens when you have a game changer on your squad. That's what happens. Game changers changes everything about the game. And they can do it at any time in the game. And once they do it, you can look them in their eye and be like, oh, shit, he ain't playing. It's on. Nah, we locked in. He locked in. We locked in. I'm just saying, bro, I know what it looked like. I'm just saying, man. Lamar Jackson is the MVP. It's not Josh Allen. It's not Brock Purdy. It's not Christian McCaffrey. You feel me? We all know that it is a quarterback award. We know that by now. Let's stop acting like, oh, well, we're gonna give it, since we're not gonna give it to Brock Purdy, because if Brock Purdy would have came out here and played well and they lost or they won, people would still be trying to give it to Brock Purdy. But Brock Purdy played fucking terrible. Now it's like, oh, well, Christian McCaffrey is the best player on their team. Bro, that's what we've been telling y'all for the longest. We've been telling y'all that Christian McCaffrey is more valuable to that team than Brock Purdy. That don't take away how we feel about Brock Purdy, though. I think Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. I do. I think he is great for the 49ers, for sure. But put Brock Purdy on the Cardinals right now. You think he make that team better? Put him on Tennessee right now. You think he makes that team better? Put him in New Orleans. You think he makes that team better? Put him in New England. You think he makes that team better? Now put Lamar on them teams. You think he make that team better? Hell yeah, he do. Because he a game changer. Playmaker. 10 times out of 10. Period. So that's all I got to say about that, man. The Ravens just went in there and beat the Super Bowl favorites. I guess the odds are the 49ers was going to win the Super Bowl by flying colors. The 49ers had missed out on, they're missing that safety though. Hufanga, they missing his splash plays and his playmaking ability and his play recognition and him just playing like Troy Polamalu a little bit out there. They are missing that. I'm not saying what their secondary is doing is not really great, but they're missing that. Because you can't make up for that. You can't make up for that. You cannot make up for that. You can't. Nick Bosa kind of been playing a little up and down this year too. Remember, he was one of those guys that held out all year and kind of got paid a couple of days before the season started. And he ain't been playing like Nick Bosa the last couple of years. The last couple of years, Nick Bosa, man, he wreaked havoc on games. He was a damn near non-factor yesterday. He was a he rushed he sat there and rushed Lamar Jackson every single play of the game yesterday, and he was a non-factor. I think it's something to say about that. I just think it's something to say about that. Maybe Lamar Jackson just probably, you know, these teams' kryptonite. Maybe he's just the 49ers' kryptonite. That people saying, and maybe it's probably a, maybe this matchup is a preview of what we're going to see in the Super Bowl, you know. They are opposite divisions. Lamar is 20-1 versus NFC teams. The next time Lamar plays an NFC team, potentially it will be in the Super Bowl if they handle their business. And we're going to see if he's going to make it 21-1 or he's going to make it 20-2. But Lamar is the most dangerous weapon in the NFL. I've been saying that for the last couple years. I definitely said it this offseason. I remember Tyrann Mathieu said it. He said, bro, you know how hard it is to guard Lamar Jackson on a down-to-down basis? You know how hard that is? You know how discipline, you know how much communication, you know how, like, next play mentality you got to be playing against Lamar, because you can be right there and he can slip up out of that shit and turn it into an 80-yard run. You can literally have him wrapped up in the backfield and he can spin out of that shit and throw a bomb down the field. He can literally buy time in the pocket by just going back and forth, left and right, and guys are getting tired on the field, and he can open up avenues for the whole offense. He is the most dangerous weapon in the NFL. Period. Hey, man, I may be wrong. I'm just saying. But that's all I got for y'all, man. Just kind of wanted to break down that game. It was a great game yesterday. There were more games yesterday. The Eagles beat the Giants. They kind of skirted by a little bit. It was 33-25. The Eagles have some issues that they got going on. I don't even think it's really like that issue. I just think the Eagles' defense is pretty not good. I said pretty not good. I was about to say pretty bad, but I was just trying to be respectful. You feel me? I don't think the Eagles' defense is that good. I think they have problems. I think their linebackers have problems. I think their secondary has problems. And I think they give up a lot of points and a lot of yards. And I don't think their offense can carry them like they did last year. So teams are able to, you know, expose them a little bit, because I don't think their offense is as good as it was last year. Even though the numbers may look better than they were last year, they may look better, but everything ain't about the numbers. The Eagles are an 11-4 team, and I bet the energy in that building is down because they not winning and playing how they want to win and play. So obviously internally they know it's something off as well, and you can see it on the field. You can see it, and I don't know if it's gonna be something they can fix, but we shall see. I think they luck might run out in the playoffs. They might. I don't know, man. I don't know. We're going to see how these last couple weeks work out in this NFC. We're going to see who they match up with in the playoffs, because it's going to be serious, man. If they mess around, have to play the Rams or play the Seahawks again. They already lost to the Seahawks. We're going to see, man. We're going to see how that goes, man. But, I mean, they won. Great win yesterday. And the Chiefs. Moving on, like I said, to pivot from the Eagles and the Giants. The Chiefs lost to the Raiders yesterday. The score was Raiders 20 to Chiefs 14. They went into Arrowhead and won on Christmas without scoring an offensive touchdown. They scored two defensive touchdowns back-to-back within 7 seconds. They had a fumble, scoop, and score. Inside the 10-yard line, scoop and score, D lineman, scoop and score. And then the very first play out of the after the kickoff return, Jack Jones jumped the hitch route and ran into the crib. The Chiefs offense looks bad this year. They don't have nobody that can separate on the outside. Travis Kelce, it's a lot of pressure on him. There's a lot of eyes on him. He's probably getting bumped and pushed. And it's just, it's double guys guarding him because nobody else can get open. Nobody else can consistently get open. You can't really depend on guys to get open. Andy Reid has to do a lot of scheming and drawing up plays and trying to manipulate the defense as much as he can because he can't just call, hey, we're going to run mirror fives where everybody run curls. We're going to run a fan where we have an over route and a dig route and somebody going to get open and catch the ball and make something happen. He can't just do that right now because they don't have it. So the Chiefs going to need to address that in the offseason. They need to really address the that in the offseason. The wide receiver room, they need to address it tremendously. Defense has been playing well, but I mean, shit, the defense didn't give up no points yesterday. The offense did. The offense had a pick six, threw a pick six, and had a fumble to the crib. So the defense been playing well. But it's only so much a great defense can do. You have to be able to match their energy on offense. You have to. You have to be able to score points to keep them playing hard and playing committed football. Chiefs need to address their offense this offseason, for sure. They need to address it because you have Patrick Mahomes in a prime of his career. You can't go into the season without knowing what you have on the outside, especially after you won last year with a limited outside. You won last year with Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce. People might be hating on Juju Smith-Schuster and all of that, but I think he was like 50 yards shy last year of having 1,000 yards. I bet they don't have another receiver over 500 yards. Maybe Rice, maybe him. But no other receiver has nowhere near close to a 500 yards receiver at all. So they need to address that for sure and stop wasting Patrick Mahomes' time because this should show you right here, bro. You need to continue to find weapons for Patrick Mahomes. Period. But all right, man, let me see if it's something else I want to talk about real quick. You dig what I'm saying? Okay, let me talk about this real quick. I had this question on, are the Chiefs in trouble? Hell yeah, they're in trouble. If they go to the playoffs and they play the Browns or the Bills, they're going to lose to them. No matter if it's on the road or at home, they're going to lose. So, yes, they are in trouble. And it's going to be the first time Patrick Mahomes is going to be sitting there watching the playoff games, the AFC championship at home. It's going to be the first time in a while. But another question I had, can the Bills win a division? The Bills play – let me go back to the – let me go check something out real quick. The Bills are 9-6. They're 2-2 in the division. They're number two in the division in the AFC East. The Dolphins are 11-4, and they 4-1 in the division. The Bills play New England at home next week, so that should be a win, and that will make them 10-6. And then they travel to Miami and play in that game. Miami plays Baltimore this week. So Miami, let's just say Miami loses. Miami will be 11-5. So going into week 18 in Miami, the Bills and the Dolphins will play. The Bills will be 10-6, and the Miami will be 11-4. And the Bills will be 3-2 in division play. And the Dolphins will be 4-1 in division play. And the Bills beat the Dolphins earlier this year, so they have the edge over if it's a tiebreaker. So the last game of the year will be a playoff game to win a division for Miami and the Bills. Because whoever win that game January 7th will win the division and be a two seed, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to be a two seed now. So they're going to be a two seed. And the loser of that division will most likely be a 5 seed or maybe a 6 seed, depending on what the Bills are. So there's a lot riding on these last two games for the Bills and the Dolphins. Like I said, I think the Bills will win at home versus New England, and they will go into Miami fighting for that division, for sure, fighting for the division win for a home playoff game. That's what they're fighting for. They're going to be fighting for a home playoff game and a 2 seed. So they fighting. You're going to be fighting to play the Bills. If they win these last two games, they're going to win the division, and they're going to be playing a 6 seed or a 7 seed. But if they lose, they're going to be playing against a 2 seed, because they're going to be playing against a 2 seed or a 3 seed, and vice versa for Miami. So I do believe that the Bills could win the AFC East, and that would be tremendous, because I didn't think the Bills, like you asked me 4 weeks ago, if the Bills is going to make the playoffs, I'd be like, man, hell no. They playing bad right now. Josh Allen ain't playing good. They turn the ball over. They firing offense coordinators. They talking about firing their coach. They're losing guys left and right on the defensive end. Stephon Diggs hasn't been getting the ball like that as of lately. There was just a lot of things going on. Kincaid was dropping the ball. Like, it was a lot going on. But they have put together some big wins as of late. They played Philly pretty well. They should have beat Philly, but they kind of gave that game up. Then they walked into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs 20-17. Then they played Dallas at home. They beat them 31-10. And then they went to LA and played the Chargers and won 24-22. So they're on a 3-game winning streak right now. They've been playing well. Josh Allen has been playing some great football for sure. So it's going to be a game in Miami for the division on the line for a 2 seed, or for a 2 seed on the line January 7th in the 305 in Miami Gardens. I'm low-key excited as hell for that game, because that game is going to be must-see TV. Tua Tagovailoa, Tariq Hill, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. Who wanted more? Who are the playmakers? Who are the game changers? Who are the game managers? We gonna see, man. We gonna see. This what I got. Man, I love Miami. I do. Because, hey, y'all drafted me. I got love for y'all all day. I want y'all to win for sure. For sure, for sure. But I think that last game, I think Buffalo gonna win in Miami. And Buffalo is going to win the division, because they just playing hotter right now. They playing hot. Josh Allen is taking care of the ball. James Cook is from Florida down there, so he's going to come in ready to go. They know it's a lot on the line. They going to know it's a lot on the line, a lot on the line. And I think they just going to play tougher and harder. And I think they're going to somehow get the win. It's going to be like a 37-31 win. For Buffalo, 37-31. That's what I'm looking at. It's going to be a great game, though, man. It's going to be something you want to watch on TV for sure, something you want to keep your eyes on. But that's all I got for y'all today, man. Matter of fact, that is not all I got for y'all today. I got one more thing, one more topic. Bear with me. Tony's top five teams. These are my top five teams going into week... We'll be going into week 17. These are my top five teams. I got the Detroit Lions at number 5. They've been playing well. Run game been going well. Jared Goff has been playing well, protecting the ball a little bit better as of lately. Hutchinson kind of getting some quarterback hurries and speeding up the pace in the backfield. He's doing his thing. They get Gardner Johnson back. Kirby Joseph is playing well. Number 6 is playing well. I like what I'm seeing from the Lions. So that's why they got the number 5 spot. Number 4 spot, I got the Buffalo Bills. Like I said, Josh Allen has turned it around these last few weeks of the season. He's been playing well. He's been protecting the ball. Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, probably has done a great job with running the ball. and not just sitting Josh Allen back there and having him throw 50 times a damn game. They're adding a nice little run game. And it's basically, you can see the run game is affecting this entire offense. It's making their offense better. It's making James Cook better. And you've seen James Cook run all over the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. So that's why I got them at number four. Number three, I bumped down the 49ers to number three. I wanted to put them at four, but I just put them at three. They're still a great team. They're still a dog team. They just got a beat down last night, and sometimes you need that to happen. You feel me? You probably was a little comfortable in your crib, Ravens walking your crib and beat you down. That's just what it was. So hopefully they bounce back. We shall see. At the number two spot, it gets a little tricky. I got the Miami Dolphins at the number two spot. Man, ain't that a great sight to see? And if you hear it in the week 17, and the Miami Dolphins are number two on my list, playing very important football. Defense is playing well. Chubb, Xavier Howard, my dog, Jalen Ramsey. They're gonna get Javon Holland back soon. Wilkins playing pretty well. David Long playing pretty well. Number 43, I don't know his name, but he's playing pretty well. They just doing their thing. They're doing their thing right now. They're going to be out. Waddle's going to be out for the next couple weeks, though. That's going to hurt him a little bit. I'm not sure if Chosen Anderson is going to be out. He had left the game in the first or the second quarter with a concussion. So he's probably going to be out. So we're probably going to see Berrios again and Cedric Wilson again. But you got Mostert. You got Tua. You got Tariq Hill. You should be good heading into these last 2 weeks of this season. So that's why I got them at number two. And you already know who I got at number one. Baltimore Ravens. Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Smith, even Clowney going crazy. Y'all been watching Clowney. Clowney affected that game a lot last night. And he was going up against Trent Williams too. Don't forget, Clowney was a freak of nature when he was coming out of college. We were talking about him being one of the best to damn near ever do it. Now, he probably, you know, was full of himself and didn't put in the work or didn't have the right mindset towards the thing, but don't forget that he's still Clowny. He's still doing his thing. That whole team, man. Flowers, even Gus Edwards doing his thing. That's why I got the Ravens at number one. So, like I said, that's my top five teams. I got the Ravens at one. I got the Dolphins at two. I got the 49ers at three. I got the Bills at four. And I got the Lions at five. That's my squad right there. That's my Tony's top five teams heading to week 17. We on that timing, man. We on that timing. And that's what it is. Obviously, I got Lamar Jackson as my MVP. He'd be a two-time MVP. He'd take care of his business these next 2 weeks. And hopefully he ride himself on to the Super Bowl and become the Super Bowl MVP and do the same thing Patrick Mahomes did last year when he was the MVP of the regular season and the Super Bowl MVP. That hasn't been done in a long time. Might as well have them back-to-back, right? Just saying. You dig what I'm saying? But that's all I got for y'all today, man. Obviously, I was tapped in with the Lamar Jackson. I think I talked to Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens, probably about 30 minutes. But I had to let people know, man. It's been a lot of noise on social media today and last night about Lamar and if he's the MVP and blah, 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 where the numbers don't match up. Man, I understand what y'all saying, bro, but I watched the game. And I know if you take Lamar off that team, They ain't gonna be nothing like that. They gonna look like the Jets. You take Lamar off that team. But I do know that Brock Purdy was out of the game yesterday for like 8 or 9 minutes, and Sam Darnold came in and looked pretty damn well. He looked all right now. And there were some people talking about, man, well, Sam Darnold probably should have started this game off early. Just saying, is it the system? Is it Brock? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just watching the game like y'all. I don't know. But that's what I got for y'all today, man. Appreciate y'all for tuning in to the Speak On It podcast, episode 62, man. Lip out.